I sometimes, for those of you that know me, I'm not your normal run-of-the-mill. I'm a little weird at times, let me just put it that way, okay? Sometimes I ask people, like when we live in a motorhome and travel, when we're in an RV park, I'll sometimes ask people, how's your love life? And you should see the looks that people give you when you ask them that. You know, and then I say, no, I mean, how's your love life with Jesus? And, you know, I have found, I don't know if it's because people in RVs, but I have found maybe 70% of the people I talk to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And some of them actually admit, you know, I know Jesus is my Savior, but I haven't been doing too good. And you get a chance to share with them and stuff like that. It's good. It's a good opening statement. How's your love life? You know, sometimes I just say, hey, I love you. Do you love Jesus? It's a good way to do it. Or I say, I love Jesus. How about you? And so tell somebody near you, hey, I love Jesus. How about you? Hey? I understand it's good to tell your wife that, and it's good to tell your husband that too. I love you. It's good for your relationship. We used to attend part-time a church. We lived in Sierra Vista, but there was a church in Tucson that we'd go visit. And this church, a spirit-filled church, it was centered on Bible teaching. Their pastor was really good at teaching the Bible. And this was back in the 60s. And I'm old, by the way. Did you know that? Okay. And they started ministering to street people, and they had druggies, people that were strung out on drugs and stuff coming. And the people of that church, especially the older people, the real old ones in their 50s and 60s, and the ancient ones in their 70s now, they would actually, when these young people came in, they were usually invited. They would actually go and sit with these people, with the young people. They would take them to lunch afterwards. While they sat with them in church, they'd pray in the spirit for God to save their souls and to deliver them from their drugs. This church went from a small, tiny church on 29th Street into a church of 3,000 or 4,000. Called Grace Chapel. How many are familiar with Grace Chapel? Over off of, on Pima and Wilmot area. And I believe it's because they had a heart to receive people that were not like them, people that were different. How can you do that? How can you receive someone else? It's because of the unction of God within you, an unction that He has for souls. He has for people. Did you know God loves people? We sang a song about that, right? About His love. Now, whether you're hurting or you failed or whatever, He has a heart for you, a great heart for you. I have a lot of titles for my message. My daughter asked me, you got a title so they can do something with it? I don't know. And for the sound people, for who? Oh, the sign outside, that's what it was. So my first response was, what was it? How's your love life? Love me tender. Do you remember that one? Love me tender, love me sweet. Well, I'm not Elvis, so. That was my first title. Well, it got changed to My Hope is Built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. And that's the only hope we got, guys. How many of you here, and I want you to actually, when I ask this question, I want you to respond by raising your hand or not raising your hand, okay? How many of you here have never failed since you became a believer? No hands. Oh, none of you have never failed. So aren't you glad that he loves you? That the blood of Christ is there for you? I don't see very many young people. Do we have any young people here? Any young people? I mean, kids. Do we have any kids here? Are there kids over there? I don't see well with these lights shining on me. And my ears are really not this big. I've got my glasses, my hearing aids, and this thing here pushing my ears out. But some children. I need one young person that's got strength. Anybody young over there? Huh, come on, somebody. Come on up here. I need one. There he goes. There he goes. Oh, this is Peter's boy, right? Yeah, what's your name? Josh. Hey, over there's a bag, a yellowish bag. Can you get that? Not the big bag, the little bag. The big bag's my mail. Yeah. So I want you to go around and find young people and give them one of those, okay? Thank you. So when I was young, there was a song. This is probably from the 50s or early 60s. Raise your hand if you know this song. To know him is to love him. And I do. That's all I know of the song. All right. I used to be a trumpet player, so I just know the music. I don't know the words very much. But anyway, when I first became a Christian, I sang that song to Jesus and about Jesus over and over and over again. Because, guess what? I love him. Why do I love him? Because he loves for me. He first loved me. Well, that's what my message is about. Okay, I have a question for you. We're going to be talking about, in a little bit, power in the blood. But do you realize that God gives his people power, extraordinary power? As Pastor Jorge, I think, was it Jorge? Or was it Tony that was talking about extraordinary? See, I don't have a good mind for remembering things. Never have. We'll be talking about the blood. How many of you can remember a miracle about water flowing in the Bible? How many? Okay. Where did the water flow from? A little louder. A rock. Where else in the body does it say water came from something else other than a rock? Where else in the Bible? Did I say Bible? It's in the seventh book of the Bible. John is not the seventh book of the Bible. What did you say? There was water. Well, yeah. Living water. Out of your belly shall flow living water. And John says that. But how many are familiar with the book of Judges? There was a judge who was a son of Manoah. Does anybody know who that judge was? This is like school teaching time. Anybody know who that judge was? I'll give you a hint. He was a superhero of the time. Who? I heard it, I think. Samson, yeah. And did you know one time when Samson was out wiping out Philistines? That's a paraphrase. God gave him water out of the jawbone of an ass, of a donkey. Did you remember that? He did that. And so the story of Samson comes from a prophetic word that was given to Manoah's wife. That prophetic word was, they had been barren, you're going to have a son. Now, God done that a lot of times, hasn't he? Did it with Abraham. Did it here with Manoah. I think that's how you say his name. You're going to have a son. And that son, the prophecy that was given over him. It said it was an angel of God. I don't know if it was, quote, an angel or Jesus come in a pre-incarnate way. I don't know, but said one of the things he said to Manoah's wife, and I don't think it names Manoah's wife, was, don't drink strong drink while you're pregnant. And now, today, we realize that drinking strong drink during a pregnancy is not wise, is it? I have a son who's retarded because of that. He has an IQ in the 50s because of, it's called fetal alcohol syndrome. So, he was to be a Nazirite, which no razor should be upon his head. You all know the story? How many of you know that story of Samson? Do you know one of his big problems was what? Women. Way to go. First, he liked this one Philistine woman. He says to his parents, get that girl for me. I guess back in those days, parents had the job of finding a woman for their sons. My sons would never let me do that. They don't know that I prayed hard. I prayed and prayed. And so it so happened that he was espoused to this woman, and she tricked him. Do you think that he would have learned his lesson from that? I don't even know if it says that woman's name in the Bible. But later on, there was another woman that he desired named Delilah. You all know the Delilah, right? And she tricked him again. Same thing. So what's the moral of the story? Huh? Don't be unequally yoked. I'll tell you what. Watch out for the wiles of a woman. Huh? Okay? Be careful who cuts your hair. All the above. Okay? So, you know, the very last verse of chapter 16 of Judges, it says this, though. And this is what, you know, even in all his failure, you see, the judges at that time were kind of like kings and priests. Are you familiar with that? Because they represented God to the people. They made judgments on what was righteous and what was not righteous. And they were leaders for the people. They gave direction to the people. Later on, we find out the people said, we don't want these judges. We want kings. So they got Solomon. But anyway, kings and priests. And the very last verse of the story of Samson goes from Judges 13 through 16. And the very last verse says, and he judged Israel for 20 years. For 20 years he was in that position like that. Even through his failures, he was in that position. And why? Because God loved him. Even after he had his eyes taken out of him, he was in that position. And God had mercy and grace. I asked my wife, if I had a lot of kids, I would have had them come up here and we were going to do things about Samson up here, but you guys are too old, most of you. I asked my wife, what do you think about the story of Samson? And her first response was, that's not for kids. You know. Second was mercy and grace. And that's what it is. Because when Samson cried out to God again, when he was captive and he was brought into that big celebration of Dagon, y'all remember that part? And he was tied to the pillars. Can you imagine being tied to pillars, outstretched, you know, and they didn't realize that the power of God. See, if you read the story of Samson, you'd read that the power of God would come upon him. He would break the rope. And it says in there, he'd break them just like they were burnt flax, just ash. That's how they would break. You know, they even tied them up with brand new strong ropes. You know, it just broke them. because the power of God would come upon him. Even in his failure, even in his weaknesses, God still had a thing for him. God has a purpose for each one of you. You know, I'm 73 years old, and I resigned from being the assistant pastor here about 7 or 8 years ago. And I thought, you know, my ministry is over. You know, I have, you know, I'm done ministering to children. And then I really felt like God was telling me, now your ministry is to your wife. And because my wife, as precious as she is, had to sacrifice a lot to be my wife with all my running around. And she did it gladly because she loved me. And I served the way I felt God calling me, gladly, because I loved him. And now I serve her as much as I can because I love her. I keep telling her, hun, just ask me what you want me to do and I'll do it. You know, sometimes she won't. She'll do the dishes without asking me. So, and then I'll see that she's hurting. And I'll say, stop, I'll do it. I'll take care of that. Or I'll see she's hurting with something else. I'll say, don't do that, I'll do it. And everything. Because I'm young and virile and stuff. So, anyway, God is the God of mercy and he is the God of grace. He's the God of callings. He's a God of anointing. So, we're going to look at, Brenda, now we can put a scripture up there. And this is 2 Peter, chapter 1. And let me find it here in my Bible so I don't. Oh, they put it up there too. So, James, Peter, and John. Chapter 2, starting in verse 3, it says up there. So it says, by covetousness, I hope I'm in the right place. Okay. What'd you say? Oh, chapter 1. I saw the 2 up there. Thank you. And his divine power is given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Say all things. Given to us that pertain to life and godliness. Right. How much? That pertain to life. All things that pertain to godliness. It's there for you. You want to be a man of God? Just look to Jesus. Receive his love. That's all it is. Okay? That's all. Okay. Where was I here? I'm in verse what? 3. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and also for this very reason, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that your desire? To know him? To know him. Is that your desire? So you can love him. Is that your desire? To know him. This week, as I heard that word, renew your vows of sonship from Pastor Jorge, that's what stuck in my heart. I never felt so loved as to the very day that I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sin. And you know what? I've been feeling loved ever since. Ever since. And I am thankful, greatly thankful, for the mercy and grace of God that forgives And you know what? God is different than you and I. He has chosen. Hear this. He has chosen to remember our sin no more. Isn't that glorious? Hey, far out, Lord. He's chosen that. How many of you ever heard of Pastor Robert Morris? Any of you? I remember years ago we did a video series on Wednesday nights of his called The Blessed Life. It's about giving. And I would suggest any one of you, all of you, if you haven't seen it, to see it. He also has another series called The God I Never Knew. He was not raised, I guess, as a Christian, or he wasn't a Christian in his young life, and came to know the Lord and became an evangelist, I believe as a Baptist minister. And then something happened to him. He met the God he never knew. He met the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. He met him. So I would ask you, go to YouTube and find his whole series on The God I Never Knew. And receive more and more of what Peter says right here, the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But God doesn't just give us knowledge, he gives us power. Amen? Does he just want us to come here, sit here for an hour on Sunday? Or if Pastor Denny's preaching 2 hours? Does he want that? No, he wants us to be a people that are lit up with the glory of Jesus Christ, that shine and affect our very world. Well, I believe Tony and Jorge both had this next scripture, which is John 3:16 in their messages. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. God in his glory, so loved Denny, so loved Ed, so loved even my son-in-law Sean, that he gave Jesus to us, you know. And that's what we are. We can emulate Jesus by being a people who give. And, you know, I know Shiloh is a giving church. We visited one church in a town called, I think it's called Leon, Texas. It might be called Leon, but I think it's Leon, to tell you the truth. A lot of gringos in Texas. And it was a Baptist church, believe it or not. And we went there for 2 Sundays. And one Sunday, they were taking up an offering. I guess they had announced it for quite a while. And they needed, what was it, $20,000? They needed $20,000 to repair their roof, to redo their roof. And so they were saying, at the first week we were there, they were saying, you know, we've already prepared you and your hearts are prepared and we'll be taking up the offering next week. And this church was a small church. I mean, just one section of this was probably bigger than all the chairs they had. And so I went outside after the service was over and I looked at the roof. And it needed repair. I mean, the shingles were rolled up and broken. And it looked bad. And I've done roofs. I know a bad roof when I see one. And not just one spot was bad. The whole roof was bad. And so I was amazed. The next Sunday we went, and I was wondering, you know, what are these people like? And they took up the offering. And then the pastor preached and everything. They took up a special offering just for the roof. And at the end of the service, they gave the total to the pastor. And he got to announce that they collected $24,000 in a small, tiny church. a giving church. And, you know, even though the worship was okay, the message was okay, wasn't like Pastor Eric, wasn't like Pastor Joseph, it was different, you know. They were giving people. They were giving people, just like you all are giving people, especially when it comes to finances. But I want you to do more. I want you to give of yourself to someone else. To just like that brother Mike, is it Mike? Was up here sharing. Give yourself to somebody. And don't be afraid of them. We just moved into an RV park. How many of you know where Bel Air Mobile Home Park is? That's where we're living right now. It is not uptown. You know what I mean? I mean, I would say half of the mobile homes are empty, and they're trying to get rid of them and stuff. But you know what? Back in 1967, when we first moved to Sierra Vista, that was where we lived, was in that park, except where we lived is no longer there, because in that time, Wilcox stopped at 7th Street. Then when they made it go all the way through past El Camino Real, it took off the back end of Bel Air Mobile Home Park, and that's where we lived, on the back row. So anyway, we're there now. I met my neighbors. You know, I invite them to church. And talking, one of them, he's 95% deaf. And I act that way a lot of times, but I'm not totally that bad. But just God has put them on my heart to take care of them, you know. So I go over and check on them and stuff. And I share Jesus with them and stuff. So we're laying a foundation to do that. And you can do the same thing. How many of you know your neighbors? Huh? Good. Share Jesus with them. You know, make some cookies and share Jesus with them. People seldom refuse cookies. Okay? So God so loved the world that he gave. And as we emulate Jesus Christ, we love others and we give to them. Sometimes it's just a kind word. Sometimes it's something else. It's something more. 1 John 1:7. I think Brenda's going to put it up there. Do you know this song? If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood, yes, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, you guys don't know this, huh? Cleanses us from all sin. And the blood, yes, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And right there reminded me, see, when I heard Pastor Jorge say, renew your vow of sonship with him, I went back to those early days of knowing Jesus. And one of the first things I knew as a believer was to plead the blood. How many of you ever heard that term? Plead the blood. Only a few of you haven't heard that term, plead the blood? It's the blood of Jesus Christ that causes you to have salvation. It's because he suffered and died and shed his drops of blood that we have salvation. But more than that, we have the power of his life within us, as the scriptures tell us. And we have fellowship with one another. We visited friends at There was a couple that we had the opportunity to minister to them back in the early 70s. And we visited them in Centerville, Texas, which is about 15 miles from Leon, Texas. Had a chance to help them, to get them back into walking closer with Christ. And they have a miracle story to tell of how the grace of God has drawn them back to Jesus. She was stopped in a construction zone in their truck, and she was hit by a semi-truck, sand truck, at 75 miles an hour. The driver was texting. She had her seatbelt on. But she'll tell you, the angels of the Lord took her out of that truck. If you saw the truck, it is smooshed. Had a sunroof that the angel of the Lord took her out of. She had the bruises on her body from the seatbelt. And she ended up on the ground. And when the paramedics got there, she was in very bad shape. They didn't think she was going to make it. She was in a coma for a number of days. And God has supernaturally healed her. Just supernaturally. She has some limit, you know, her leg is, she had a damaged leg pretty bad, and her head was damaged pretty bad. And the sunroof was closed when she was out. But you know what? God loved her even through all that. And because of that accident, God visited her while she was in that coma. I know now she's more on fire for Jesus. Why? Because the love of God is never ending. The blood has power even today to save. To save physically, to save spiritually. The power that's in the blood. Revelation 1:5. I'll turn to that while she's putting it up there. I'm almost done, by the way. Isn't that amazing? No response. Hallelujah. 1:4. The Apostle John is writing these things. Do you realize who the Apostle John was? He was intimate. I believe John was more intimate with Jesus than any of the other 12. And he's telling us here about Jesus. Look at what he said. I'm starting in verse 4. He said, "And John to the seven churches which are in Asia." So he wrote this to those seven churches. And the Holy Spirit speaks to every one of us through the message given to those seven churches. But he says, "Grace to you and peace from him," that's Jesus, "who is and who was and who is to come." Hallelujah. And I can't wait for that last one, "who is to come." I'm waiting for that trumpet sound, that blast. I'm waiting for this mortal body to put on immortality. Actually, it already has. I'm just waiting for it to manifest totally, right? I was at a church service with some of my grandkids, and I don't know what brought this on, but I was sharing with the pastor about my daughter Christy, who asked Jesus to save her when she was 3 years old. I think Tamara did it when she was 2. And can a little one that young have a faith in Jesus Christ? Yeah. My 2 girls, those 2 girls. I don't remember Danielle when she asked Jesus in her heart, but Tamara and Christy, they've walked with Jesus all their lives. And never gave up on him. Never turned their back. Never. Do girls sow their wild oats? I don't know, but never did that kind of stuff. They've loved Jesus all their lives. A blessing. My sons, same way. He's loved Jesus all his life. In his way, He's not like his father. He's more normal. Going back to the scripture, it says, "Who and from the seven spirits who are before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his whole blood." There's the message of the gospel right there. When did God decide to do that? Huh? Well, in Genesis 3, you find out he decided to do that before creation. He decided to do that. The serpent would bruise his heel, but he'd bruise the serpent's head. Amen? Genesis 3. That's the love of God that's shed abroad. Now, it's not for us just to hang on and sit back and say, "Whoa, thank you. I'm safe." No, it's because God has a heart for others to know that same love that you receive from God, that same forgiveness that you receive from him, that same anointing that comes upon you when you start sharing the gospel, that same anointing that can touch your body. How many have ever heard of a religious group called the Quakers? Any of you? I think they were prominent in Pennsylvania and probably somewhere else. Well, they would wait upon the Lord in prayer and reading the scriptures. They'd just sit there and wait on the Lord until his presence came upon them. And some of them would shake because the presence of God. Okay, any of you ever been there? Where the presence of God comes upon you and you just shake? I get goosebumps lots of times when the presence of God comes upon me. I get excited even more than I normally do when that presence of God for a special touch of some sort comes upon you. I get it especially with children. And maybe you get it some other way, but there it is. That anointing that comes upon us to do and fulfill the purpose of God. Because he loves a world that's lost in sin. And here we are. We're still breathing for some reason. Is that reason so we can sit around and watch TV? Or in my case, YouTube? See who wins the ball game today? Huh? How many of you watched the ball games yesterday, the playoff games for the college? Any of you? I did. The first one was really pathetic. And the second one, Oklahoma finally made a game of it a little bit. That was okay. I wasn't rooting for anybody special. The U of A wasn't there. So, anyway, he's washed us. Hallelujah. He's loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So when I was a young Christian, I was taught to plead the blood of Jesus Christ over myself. When we got in a car, we pleaded the blood of Jesus over us, over the car, that we'd have safe journeys. Now, when I was a teacher at Shiloh Christian School, we used to sing a little ditty. Father, now bless us. Well, when we got in cars, we said, Father, protect us. You know, protect. How's it go, Tamara? Father, protect us. Father in heaven, protect us. In Jesus' name, amen. And that's kind of like pleading the blood, isn't it? And we would do that. And, you know, like we used to have this rickety old bus that had about that much play in the steering wheel. I had the privilege of driving a highway patrolman into the ditch with it. That was expensive. And anyway, God protected us. And you would know the grace and love and mercy and the power of the blood of Christ if you ever rode with me in a car. You'd know that his protection is there. Yeah, I've had to break this habit now. I'm trying working at it because my wife always says, When we go, I want to go together. So I would say, well, the way I drive, there's a good chance of that. You know, we were in Texas, and if it wasn't for her scream, I would have at 65 miles an hour, would have crashed into a lane of traffic that had stopped, and I didn't even notice it. And I don't handle night driving well anymore. I realize that. But her scream, and I slammed on the brakes and skidded and ended up where I passed like five cars, but I was in the emergency lane on the side of the road. If it wasn't for her scream, I would have never noticed it. And I believe that's a protection of Jesus Christ in our life. He still has something for this old guy to do, something for me to do. And my prayer is that I'll live long enough for my great-granddaughter to remember me. Okay? So what does that mean? The lights. Okay. This means outside. She goes around all day outside. Yeah. She knows sign language. So she's precious. Precious. So anyway, there's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. So I'm asking you to receive his salvation and his forgiveness right now. Well, Pastor Denny, I got saved back in 1848, you know. You need his salvation and you need his forgiveness every day. See? I was saved, I am saved, and I'm being saved. You realize that? You need that salvation every day. Walk in that salvation. Receive it from him. It's nothing you earn. That's the good thing about it. It's something that Jesus Christ accomplished for you. Don't look at the baby. Look at me. Yeah. So receive his forgiveness and salvation, and then walk in his victory, overcoming the enemy. Do you know you have an enemy to your soul? You know that? And if he can't get you to fall into deep sin, he'll get you to be lethargic. And what's the word I'm looking for, where you just sit back and do nothing? Apathetic. Yeah, that's what it'll do. He wants you apathetic. All right? When I see the people, I hope this word is okay. When I see the people panhandling outside of Walmart, I actually say, Lord, do I help this one or not? You know, because I know some of them. I know of one lady in town that made more money than I did just panhandling. So I don't know. I leave it, and sometimes I get that unction, yeah. Help them somehow. But in helping them, I want to at least say, hey, Jesus loves you. Would you like to return his love? You can do that. Any one of us can. Last scripture, Revelation 12, verse 11. I want to be a person that overcomes. By the way, how many of you feel conviction in your life every now and then from God? I mean, God is convicting you of something. How many? Well, it should be all of us, because that's what the Holy Spirit, that's what he does in our life. In John, one of the sandwich chapters in John 14, 15, and 16, I think it's 16, he says, Jesus said, I'll send the Comforter. That's the Holy Spirit. And when he's come, he'll convict the world of righteousness, judgment, and hallelujah. Mr. Bible Man over there. Somebody can look it up. John 16:7. Anybody? He comes to convict. Okay? Righteousness, sin, righteousness, and judgment, right? He does that. He convicts you. And then your response to that conviction is your walk with God. Jesus knows what goes on behind closed doors. He knows. And he loves you so much, he'll put conviction in your path so you can turn from it. You can turn to righteousness, which he's provided for you. Righteousness is what you receive. It's not what you do. Do you realize that? It's what you receive from him. He's the God of righteousness that pours it over you. Am I righteous because I've been good? I did 32 right things in the last year? No, I'm righteous because of the blood of Jesus Christ. With that blood, he's washed us, cleansed us. Our robes are as white as snow, the scripture says. Pretty white, huh? And it's, gosh, how can you not but just fall in love with him over and over and over again? And how can you not have an unction for somebody that's not at this moment walking in that love? Walk in that love, you know? Hallelujah. So John says in Revelation 12:11, I hope that's the right verse, and they overcome him by, they overcome, this is the enemy of our souls, okay? They overcome him by the blood of the, oh, you guys got it up there, don't you? By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. What's your testimony? It's what you've seen. It's what you've experienced. It's what you've heard. Huh? How do I know God is love? 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another. Why? Because God is love. Why am I talking about love? Because it's what God is. And the power of love is in the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, if you've made him that in your life. It's what it is, the power of love. I'm asking you to allow Jesus Christ to change you, to touch you in such a way that you're not the same person you were before you came in this room today. I'm asking him to touch you, to anoint you, that the very lips of your lips would have the very words of God upon them, learning to confess what he has done in your life. God's done so much for me. You know, I sometimes look back. Prosperity in a worldly sense has never been my desire. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't care about being rich. I don't care about a new car. I drive a 1999 Jeep Cherokee, and the front end is off of it. Okay, that's another miracle story of God, his protection over us. But he takes care of us. Have we ever missed meals? Only on when we decide to fast. God has provided for us all these years. And you know what? He provides continually. He's promised he will. All I need to do is love him, serve him, be his child. That's all. And I can remember as a young Christian laying on the floor of one of my spiritual daddy's homes in the living room. We were having a prayer meeting. And I could see an angel of the Lord in the ceiling. And it was like the Lord was saying, you're protected. You'll be taken care of, Denny. This is before we were married. See, I can remember some things. Not much, but some. And God has. He's done that. He's taken care of us. Not always the way we expected. But he has. If you want to know about God's provision, ask me about House of Samuel Day sometime. I'll tell you some stories about miraculous provision. But you got to be willing. You got to be willing to walk in it. So, where was I? Verse 11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. The word of the testimony and not loving their lives, even unto death. I support Voice of the Martyrs. Any of you ever hear Voice of the Martyrs? And in the, I can remember the things I read in their newsletter they put out and the things I've seen on news, especially what ISIS did of believers, those that would just simply call themselves a Christian. That's all. I'm a Christian. Losing their heads. Wow. They loved God that much that they would not deny him. All they had to do was say, oh, I'll deny him and I'll worship Allah. No. I'm going to worship Jesus. You take my head, I'll be in his presence. You can kill the body, but you can't kill my spirit. You can't kill my soul. Jesus has that. Hallelujah. He does. So the shed blood of Christ is what? God's love for us, and it's his power. It's the power of his victory over the enemy of our soul. Whoops. And over sin. It's the power. When I think of what Jesus does for me, you know, years ago, Pastor Joseph would often have me do communion. And there are a lot of times when I do communion that I just want to weep because I'm thankful. I'm thankful for what Jesus did for me. I told you I'm different. There are times when I lay in bed and almost weep because I'm thankful for the woman God has given me all these years and how precious she is to me and to God. God had her calling on her life. And if you would have known me in my BC days, you would have said, oh, I don't want that guy around. Okay? But she saw me and said, what a beautiful hunk of a man he is. So, anyway, I was 6'1 and I weighed about 110 pounds. But at one time, I was more than twice the man she first met. Now I've lost weight, so I'm down a lot. So walk out this new year. This is a new year message, by the way. Walk out this new year in his grace and his power and be an overcomer. Start asking yourself, hey, Jesus, what can I do for you today? Do you want me to buy that guy lunch? Okay? There are all kinds of people that need him. Maybe it's somebody that's well-to-do in everything. Start praying for him. Just pray at first. If he doesn't know Jesus, just pray for him. And then it'll come a moment when the Lord will give you that unction to open your mouth. Well, I don't know what to say, Pastor Denny. Well, in Psalms, oh man, I want to say, ever since the bicycle crash, my brain has not been the same. I'll confess that to you. And I'm thankful I'm still here. The doctor said I could have died easily, two of them. And there is a psalm. Psalm 81:10, maybe? Somebody can look it up. It says, open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. I don't know what to say to these people. Just open your mouth. Okay? Hey, I've been wondering about you. Have you ever given your life to Jesus? You're a good man. But have you ever given your life to Jesus? He'll anoint you. He'll give you the grace that you need for that very moment. May I close with one testimony? May I? I have difficulty standing ever since the crash. I broke my leg, but I also hurt my back and my head. Usually, if I'm out of bed for an hour or two, I have to get my heating pad and go lay on it. But you know, the anointing and the grace, have seen me sit down during the worship. I like to stand and worship, but the pain was too much. I even told my wife, I got to sit for the rest of it so I can preach. But I know, because I've experienced this over and over again. I used to call this Pastor Joseph's pulpit. Now I have to call it Pastor Eric's pulpit. And I know God's anointing comes. And so while I've been sharing this with you, I've been pain-free. And God, He hasn't done that just one time. It happens over and over and over again. God's grace is like that. Can you walk in it? All you got to do is love Him and know Him. If I leave you with nothing else today, to know Him is to love Him. And I do. I love Jesus. Do you love Jesus? Let us pray. Oh, Jesus, lover of our souls, You're so good. You're so good, Jesus. Hallelujah. I personally, Lord, thank You for the grace and the mercy and the anointing of power of Your kingdom, Lord, that comes upon us day by day by day, that we may fall in love with You more and more and more each day. You said to one of those seven churches, the problem is with you guys is you've lost your initial love, that first love for Me. We don't want to be that people, Lord. We want to be a people that's excited for the kingdom of God. And as we begin this new year, Lord, I pray that You would put moment upon moment upon moment in front of each one of these people here and those that are consider themselves part of Shiloh. You'd put before them places and times of ministry where they can love another and possibly through Your grace, be one that leads someone into the kingdom, be a harvester. Now I know, Lord, You say that some water and some plant, but the harvest is great, Lord, and we want to be part of harvesting in Jesus' name, Lord. We want to be a people that the glory of Your kingdom shines upon, that others can see Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So now as we sit here, Lord, I ask, Lord, flow upon these people. Oh, Lord, make a change in our lives, Lord. Touch us in a great way, Lord. Lord, as we lay upon our beds, Lord, let our love for You just speak out. Just flow out of an abundance of being touched by You. Great, O Lord, is your faithfulness to us. And great, O Lord, is your empowerment upon us. We receive it now in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And everyone that receives that, please say, amen. Amen.